word that comes out of your mouth represents your brand. And every single word you put on paper also represents your brand. Most people don't have too much trouble speaking, but writing is a whole different beast. My goal in this lesson is to give you a crash course in copywriting. We're going to look at all the places your copy counts, the real reasons you need to have solid copywriting skills, how to craft killer headlines for all your stories you're going to be writing and creating, and I'll also share some of our fave resources and tools to give you a leg up on the competition. So let's start with all the types of copy you need to perfect, leading with your very own inbox. Yep, we've all encountered that one person that comes across as trite, immature, overly bubbly, or way too serious over email. This is always surprising when you meet them in person and they're completely different. But did you ever consider that you might be one of those people? This happens because of a lack of copywriting skills. So yes, even if you aren't planning on writing blog content for your brand, you still need to master copywriting skills because you will be representing your brand in every single email you send. And I'm not just talking about your everyday emails. I'm talking about your marketing emails too. Crafting strategic marketing emails also calls for some stellar writing skills. The same goes for the content you add to your website, how you title your blog posts, what you write in your social captions or Facebook ads, and so on and so on and so on. Let's start by addressing the fact that everyone makes mistakes. Of course, it all happens. We're human, we're supposed to do that. Typos happen. Bad grammar, on the other hand, well, it can be confusing. I want you to imagine what the following sentences look like on a piece of paper. Ready? Okay, the first one. First sentence, let's eat, Grandma. Second sentence, let's eat, Grandma. I don't know about you, but I'm not really interested in eating Grandma. Hopefully, if you come across this sentence, it's either in a terrible horror movie script or someone simply forgot to add a comma. Let's say you're writing an email to a new customer and want to invite them to an event you're hosting. You might write something like this. Hi, Julie. I'm really looking forward to meeting with you next week. I also wanted to let you know about an event I'm hosting later this month that I thought you'd be interested in. You can find more information here, and I can tell you more about it next week when we meet. Have a great day. Your nutrition coach, Jen B. What if you wrote it like this instead? I will see you next week, but I'm hosting an event this month that you might want to go to, so here's a link for you to click on. Questions? Let me know. Jen. Doesn't this make you sound a little less approachable? To me, this sounds like you don't have time to write an email to me, or you don't really care about me as an individual, to be honest. It's not the worst email ever written, but it certainly wasn't crafted carefully. It's not personal. You could have sent this to everyone you're going to see next week. It feels robotic and definitely isn't memorable. I don't get a fuzzy feeling when I read an email like this. Here are six copywriting tweaks that could make all the difference in how your audience perceives you. Slang. Slang is tricky and it's completely dependent upon your audience. Using too much slang, overused buzzwords, or industry jargon could push your readers away. But using none at all could make you seem stiff or out of touch. Find the right balance and keep your copywriting relatively simple and down to earth and use your best judgment. Creating FOMO. FOMO is a real thing, and no one likes to be left out. Creating limited offers inspires urgency for your audience. This offer ends today, so sign up while you can. Or, only a few spots remain, lock in your seat now, are a couple of simple examples of creating this sense of urgency. It works. The key, however, is to stick to your deadlines, always, and not to create a false sense of FOMO. If you don't stick to your guns, after a while, the urgency will wear off and be less effective. Or worse, your customers will get frustrated and go elsewhere. Fostering intrigue. People want to hear secrets to success, stories never told before, the number one way to achieve a specific goal, etc., etc., etc. Tell bizarre but relatable and relevant stories. Answer hard questions. Take a completely unrelated topic and make it relatable. People are naturally intrigued by unique or complex concepts, so if you can work that into your copy, you might get your audience's attention a little bit faster. Using contractions. Sometimes it makes sense to use contractions and sometimes it does not. For example, right there, does not. This doesn't need to be two words, unless you're trying to put a strong emphasis on the fact that these two words do not need to be separated. If you think about what your writing would sound like if you were to read it out loud, it becomes easier to know when to combine words and when not to. Not using contractions tends to create a more formal vibe and style of writing, while contractions create a more informal style. For example, I can't go Friday, I don't have a ride, versus I cannot go Friday, I do not have a ride. Do you hear that difference? Using questions instead of statements. When it comes to writing headlines, sometimes using questions works better than a statement because it implies that the content will answer the question. People want to know the answer. A statement headline, on the other hand, sort of sums it all up for you and leaves nothing left to the imagination. I often find question headlines more intriguing and I want to read those articles more. However, they don't work in every case, so again, you'll need to really use your best judgment here. For example, if you're writing about how to set goals, a question headline might be, "How do I set more realistic goals?" versus a statement headline, which might be, "Set more realistic goals using these 5 steps. Or something along those lines. Which one would you read? Lead with a story. This idea is similar to the fostering intrigue concept. By starting off a blog or a case study with a story that your readers can relate to, you automatically appeal to your readers' desire to hear something funny, learn something new, or be inspired, relate to what you're going through or went through, or otherwise be entertained. Starting with a story, no matter how short and simple, creates a fast and powerful impact on your audience and the promise of more interesting content to come. Now let's talk about the fact that your audience is actually not hanging on every single word. Sad, right? You work so hard for all those words. The truth is, we often scan things so quickly we aren't actually reading every word, which means we really do need to make them all count so the ones they skim are worthwhile. A few ways to help the skimmers out there retain your information include break the content into sections. So create subheadlines and or bullet points every 100 to 200 words so your readers don't have to read long sections of text because let's be real, they aren't going to. I talk a lot about that actually in TNS level 1 when I talked about how to email clients. You might want to go back and refresh your memory on that as well. It's really relevant here. They will, however, read your headlines and some of your bullet points, so be sure those are stellar. Answer questions and fulfill promises. If you started your content out with a question, well, of course, you have to answer the question. If you made promises about what you were going to say or teach, follow through with it. And be sure to remind your readers that you said you were going to write about something or answer a question, and that here is the answer or tip or advice you promised. Repeat important points. Don't say the same thing over and over and over again in the same way. But if you have a really important point to make, be sure to bring it up in a few different ways. It's completely okay to do that. The more your readers hear your message, the more likely it is that they'll retain it. And remember, you're trying to educate, you're trying to give them knowledge. Provide examples. Some concepts are easier to understand than others, and in some cases, while concept might be simple, it may take an example for someone to understand how it might relate to them or something that's going on in their lives. Plus, examples are a great excuse to change copy formatting and include some quotes, which definitely will break the monotony and make it stand out in the copy. We've used examples here. Finally, a lesson on selling through copy. At the end of the day, every word you write or type has a purpose. And that purpose for our business is to sell something. Again, it's a business. You need to be able to craft stories that sell, captions that sell, emails that sell, and so on. And there's really a skill to doing this without sounding like you're selling. We've included a handout with 5 tips to keep in mind when your focus needs to be selling, but your actual words can't say buy now. So be sure to take some time to absorb the information and practice, practice, practice applying it in your copy. But remember, there is a time when you can be very direct and have a direct, specific call to action too. So there's your crash course in copywriting. We talked about the importance of copywriting and how it can impact every aspect of your business. We discussed some easy tweaks that can change the tone of your writing, and we talked about the nature of how people skim through your words. We taught you how to write better email newsletter subject lines and how to sell to your audience through copy without sounding like you're just selling them something. We share a lot of great resources in the handouts that can help you with your writing, and I hope you see an immediate increase in your email open rates as you apply these tips. So there's your crash course in copywriting. We talked about the importance of copywriting and how it can impact every aspect of your business. We discussed some easy tweaks that can change the tone of your writing, and we talked about the nature of how people skim through your words. We taught you how to write better email newsletter subject lines and how to sell your audience through copy without sounding like you're just selling them something. We share a lot of great resources in the handouts that can help you with your writing, so I hope you check those out, and I hope you see an immediate increase in your email open rates as you apply these tips. I will see you in the next lesson.